just want to continue doing that in order for us to at least have something, you know, to base our decisions with. Because we're not only calling leaders in the sense that we wanted to you know, to choose leaders. One couple of things we want to choose leaders because the Bible tells us so. So we can, you know, we can choose our leaders. And also we wanted to take the responsibility of because the work is in front of us, and we have to choose leaders that will help us carry on with those responsibility. And we don't want to, you know, to put it to people and make it a burden for them. But my first thinking is we want somebody that will, you know, answer to the calling of God and take that responsibility in a way that, you know, it's a joy for him or for her to serve. I know God's calling is sometimes, you know, it takes effort and it takes time to work, you know. And sometimes, since we're dealing with people, we're kind of emotionally invested also. And if we're dealing with people, with church, sometimes there's some heartache. Sometimes there's, you know, there's some sad things. But deep within those people, I would like to see that they are doing this because they're answering to God's calling, and it's a joyful experience for them. Even though a lot of times it's not easy, right? Serving, you know, the Lord. And let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the songs that you have just sang, oh God. Thank you that we can declare you are a great God. And I pray that it's not only through words that we declare you as a great God, but through our actions also that we will declare you that you are most sovereign in our life. Because a lot of time it doesn't see that way, it doesn't feel that way, and it doesn't go that way. We feel like we're the sovereign, and we only remember you in the time that just we remember you. Oh God, please help us to the Holy Spirit to bring that word into completion, that we declare you as a great God in our life. Oh God, this church is as our standing, oh God. We are new, we're just born, and we wanted to reach the community. That's our calling. Hope we were in the same mind and perspective, but we want to share your good news on this part of Staten Island. So help us, bring us, give us a calling to do that also. So we will be in one mind, one faith, and you are our Lord to do that, okay? Help us to choose our leaders. I know there's no perfect person to lead us. Everybody is at fault one way or another, oh God. I'm not a perfect person. My brothers and sisters are not perfect people, oh God. We just receive mercy and grace from you. That's why we can call on your name. But I pray through the Holy Spirit that we will choose the right person to lead us and complete the work of your kingdom on this place, oh God. It's not an easy thing. That's why we're praying. We're asking for your guidance. So bless us today and help us and understand. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't have a story today. Next time, all right? Rachel is waiting. She wants me to tell the story about, was that the monkey and the turtle? That's a long story when they were growing up. I don't know if you heard that story. The wise monkey and the turtle. I don't know. Did you encounter that? But stories next time, all right? So today we will continue our study about selecting our church leaders. Our verses is, we have read this one, 1 Timothy chapter 1. We don't have to go through those things. I know you read it last time. And 1 Peter chapter 5. Okay? Yeah. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 13, about the elders and the deacons. And then the responsibility of the elder to guide, to guide the church, to guide the flock, and what do you call this? And to show them and lead them through examples. If we will study the book of Acts until Titus, we see Paul admonishing Titus to appoint elders. But on my perspective, I don't want to appoint elders. You know why? Because Titus has a direct order or direct command from the apostles. All right? And Paul said, appoint elders. I'm not Titus. I don't have a direct command from the apostle Paul to appoint elders. So I don't feel that way in selecting our leaders. You know what? Another reason is the mandate. When you say about mandate, mean to say when we choose our leaders, everybody is involved. I'm not the only one involved. Because what I see is different from what you see. Your observable character of a person is different from what you observe from another person. Right? And there's mandate. When you say mandate, meaning to say, if we select elders, majority of us, okay, mean to say, vast number of the church is selecting this person. Meaning to say, you approve this person's character and observable, qualification. That's why we chose one. That's why I don't appoint. First, I'm not an apostle. I'm not even Titus or Timothy. I live in the 21st century. That's why I don't appoint. Okay, going back. Actually, in the book, when we study the book of Acts, a lot of times when they were choosing leaders at that time, they're casting lots. Right? Casting lots. Mean to say everybody is involved. Just like when Judas left the apostleship, when he killed himself, they were looking for a replacement for Judas, right? So they were selecting, they were casting lots. They found two men who are qualified to be, a replacement for Judas. So that's why they're casting lots. Nowadays it's like I think election also is like casting lots. Right? Like heads and tails. We put qualified people according to what the Bible is saying, observable qualification. When we read chapter 3 of Timothy, observable. We see this into a person. We see this, this qualification, a godly person. So we kind of nominate and tell them, maybe you can be an elder, maybe you can be a deacon, maybe you can be a church leader. So, and then we cast lots. Sometimes casting lots is, they put some strings, and then, just jumble it and, and then let them pick who's, after praying, let them pick who has the biggest, the highest or the, the longer stick or longer string. And then whenever your string is pulled, and you become a leader of the church. Or maybe they're throwing stones. maybe we throw big stones over here. We grab, and so, and that truck, it falls on your head. You're going to be the elder. You're going to be the leader of the church. That's casting lots. And I think, on my opinion, also, when we select or elect them according to our group, that's also casting lots. We don't know who will be the elder, but we choose a couple of people and then we select from them because we see observable qualification of this person. We don't read the heart. I don't think we can read the heart. Right? So we choose them. And I don't appoint elders because I then have direct command from the apostles. All right? And there's no apostle nowadays. And at that time, I guess, the book of Acts, it says the church is so early, is the church is just beginning, and the apostles is still there. They're the one, you know, who was acting as apostles, as elders, as shepherds of the flock. And then when Paul was establishing churches, he told Timothy to appoint elders. But nowadays, you know, we have our group, and we can choose, and Bible give us, you know, observable qualification of a leader. Let me tell you a couple of terms, okay, regarding eldership. The Bible says, choose some presbyteros. Presbyteros, it means elder. It means mature spiritually. Because sometimes we have different notion of being spiritually mature sometimes. We equate it with older age, right? Sometimes. Or a lot of times, maybe. When we see an older person, oh, he can become an elder because he's an older person. But when the Bible says presbyteros, it means matured. Matured spiritually. Mean to say he has... He's not a new convert. He's not a new person that converted to Christ. He is a matured spiritual person. Okay? He is, because he is to lead, you know, a group. He has to lead the church. So he has to have a mature qualification because he's an elder of the church. So it doesn't mean that you are old, you can be an elder. You know? A younger person, you know, who is mature spiritually can also be also be a leader. Right? And then another term, episkopos. That's another term for an elder or an elder, and it means overseer. It means managing. It means bishop or manages the affair of the church. Remember the qualification of the elder? That he manages his own household, right? He manages his own children. Because the Bible said, how can he manage the church if he cannot manage his own family? That's why episkopos is a manager, an overseer. Because he is managing a family also. Just like he manages his family. Alright? So he oversees the affairs of the church as his own family. You know? Managing the affairs of the household of God. Alright? And the question, he should manage his family so he can manage also or oversee the family of God, the flock of God. The third one is the Greek word poimen. Poimen. It means pastor or shepherd. We studied that on 1 Peter, right? He should lead the flock. He should lead the flock, not lording them, but by giving them examples of how to follow God. Alright? Not lording. Mean to say, you're not the highest or the, you know, the highest position at the church. No? You're leading them through example, shepherding them, leading them, right? But last week, the church, you know, is us, the community, and we are called sheep, right? And why the Bible compared us as sheep? You remember what I told you last time? Hmm? Okay. Do you remember that term that I used last time?
Not so smart.
That's right. Yeah, not so smart. Yeah, that's not smart. You know, we're easily go astray, including myself. If we are not shepherded, I don't know if I use the right English, if we are not being led properly, you know, we're doomed to destruction, right? We cannot, as sheep, we cannot do what we want to do sometimes, a lot of times, you know. And we need a leader to guide us into the hills and valleys of life. And that responsibility falls on our shepherds. But my question is this. All of us are sheep, including myself, including all the elders that we belong to the flock of God. And the true shepherd is Christ. He's the true shepherd. Because he gave his life for the flock. So the shepherd, which the elder is doing, also entitles also for God to guide him and, you know, and to lead him, you know, in order for him to lead the flock of God through his example, right? And, you know, shepherding the flock is not easy, you know. You have to know what's going on. Sometimes, you know, personal things about our flock. Not that we announce it on the pulpit and we don't do that. But a lot of times we are involved in the things of our flock, of our sheep, of our members. Not to gossip it, not to broadcast it, but to help out. You know, that's why our elders should be invested in those things, and our eldership is invested in all those things. Sometimes when a member of the church is hurting, you know, sometimes they have issues that, you know, it's so hard to experience. The elder should be there and be invested with those members. They feel what they feel, you know. If they're hurting emotionally or because of something happened in their family life, an elder should be involved, you know. We have to know our flock, you know. We have to know them by, if you know, the most, maybe easiest way to know them by name. Because the sweetest sound that you can hear in your life is your name, right? When somebody is whisper your name, you tend to look, right? Even though, for example, Michael, even though you're not being called, if your name is Michael, you look around and see who's calling your name. And a shepherd, a leader should know not only the name of his flock, you know, but he is invested emotionally. Invested. We have to know what's going on. We have to know what's going on. You know, why this member of the church is not, you know, what happened? What happened to him? What happened to her? What happened to, you know, he was, you know, he's not present several times. You have to know. We have to invest. I spoke with, when we were visiting Brother Indar and Annie, right? They have a special heart for Brother Steve. I don't know, you don't know Brother Steve. A lot of you know Brother Steve Salmon is in Pennsylvania now. You know, they love Brother Steve so much because when they don't attend the church, Brother Steve will be there that Sunday and bring them, you know, Lord's Supper. And you know, they so love this act, this, you know, this thing from Brother Stephen, you know, because they say nobody did that except for Brother Steve. That's why they remember that. Brother Steve will be there sometimes by himself, you know, being, you know, a bread and pray with them, and you know, and you know, ask them questions sometimes, you know, and they feel. But the Steve was there for them, you know, because we have to know them, you know, what's going on in their life, and a leader should be involved. The shepherd should be involved, you know, in their life. In their life, we should invest, because if they hurt, the body hurts, right? You know, sometimes, you know, when our pinky hurts, the whole body feels it. You know, we have colds, the body feels what there's, you know, there's going on, you know. There's a signal that our body is aching, the whole body. So we consider every part of the family, you know. Remember how old, how young, new convert you are, or you've been in the church for, you know, 20 years, 15 years. We, as leaders of the church, we have to know what's going on. We know what's going on. And sometimes managing also, because we are family, we have different, just like me, right? I have three kids. Somebody wants to eat this. You know, my son loves to eat ice cream sometimes. My other son, yeah, you know, wants to eat this one. My daughter wants to eat this one. And I'll tell them, no, we go home and eat in the house. Whatever is there, we eat. That's it. You see, you know, they don't accept it, but at the end, we're still a family, right? We still go in one place and smile each other and hug each other, and we love each other. You know, that's like we have. You have different choices. You have different perspective in life. You have different, you know, you like this color, you like this color. But we still one family. One family. Okay? Unless a leader is teaching another thing in the Bible, that's a question mark. If that elder is leading the church into a different doctrine, a different teaching, a different way, that's when we question. You know, he's not leading through examples. He's, what he's saying in the front is different than what he's doing outside. And we have to be aware of that too. Right? Because these things that I told you are observable. We can see that. Okay? We can see that. And I want the plaque to make the choice, not me. Because Monday, when you say majority of us approve this one. An elder should not be working on my behalf. He should be working on your behalf. Okay? He should be working. His responsibility is for the flock. Okay? So, we cannot choose our elder, all of us. I know it's a tall order. It's a high calling, a big responsibility. You know, just what I told you, some decisions are hard sometimes. Remember when Peter in Jerusalem was jailed, and religious leaders at that time, they said, stop preaching the word of God. That's what he said, and then I'll keep you out of jail. And then what did Peter say? We ought to obey God rather than men. Right? We ought to obey God rather than men. Mean to say, you know, we are deciding things because God wants us to decide on things. Sometimes decisions that we made are hard, you know, hard things, but we have to. We ought to obey God rather than men. Okay, Concerning our deacons, I would like to touch that a little bit on study about that. Okay, deacons are only mentioned in 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 18 to the following, verse 8 to the following, and it's also mentioned on Acts chapter 6 verses 1 to the following. Remember when the church was kind of early, kind of baby, and they were converts, Jews converts in Jerusalem during the Pentecost, and they decided to stay in Jerusalem to be included in the first church in Jerusalem, just like Brother Dante told us earlier this morning. And a lot of them, they call them Hellenistic Jews. They're not from Jerusalem, but they decided to stay in Jerusalem. So the church as a whole were feeding them. They have no work. They have to stay in Jerusalem, including the church. They're staying and being taught in the apostles' doctrine. That's what the Bible is saying. And sometimes, the group is paying more attention to that, the Jews that are from Jerusalem. And the Hellenistic Jews who are not from Jerusalem were being neglected on the tables. Right? So they said, choose among you deacons, which means servants, diakonos, which means servants, to serve on the tables. That's what Acts chapter 6 is saying to us. They have to serve tables. They have to feed them. Mean to say, physical aspect of the church at that time. Because the apostles were there, and their focus according to Acts. Let's read those verses. Okay, let's read those verses. Let's go to Acts. So we won't be, Acts chapter 6, verse 1 to the following. Okay. In those days, I don't know if you find those verses. In those days, when the number of the disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews, this is what I told you, Jewish convert that came around Palestine. They were not from Jerusalem. Okay? Among them complained against the Hebraic Jews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. Because there's a lot of converts. So they need to feed them. They need to feed them. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on the tables. So the apostles and the early disciples' focus is on the ministry of the word. Mean to say the preaching of the preaching of the gospel. That's what their focus is. Spiritual need of the church at that time is for the apostles to teach, to preach, to let the people around, what happened to Jesus Christ at that time. So it's not good for them to serve on the tables. The physical needs of the early Christians. Okay? So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word in order to wait on the tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, and will turn this responsibility over to them, and will give them our attention in prayer and the ministry of the word. So the apostles call on the church to select 7 people, 7 deacons, 7 diakonos to serve on the physical aspect of the ministry, to serve tables. That's the only example of the Bible, actually, to be honest with you, when the word deacons was used. But later on, these 7 deacons, diakonos, one of them is Stephen, something like that, was full of spirit and was preaching. Meaning to say, as a deacon, as a servant, his ministry grew and grew and grew. Right? And he became the first martyr of the church. But first of all, he was chosen among seven, you know, among a lot of people, he was one of the seven to serve on the tables, the physical aspect of the ministry of church. Okay? That's why we have deacons, diaconos, you know. They started from that office to serve the physical aspect of the church. While the apostles who appointed elders at that time concentrated on the ministry of the word and the ministry of prayer. Okay? So right now, we're trying to decide our leaders. Yeah. Leaders of the church that will help us carry on the work of this responsibility of the church to carry on sharing His word, you know, in this community. Maybe in this community, how do you call this community? Richmond, right? Port Richmond. You know, there's a lot of people here, you know, that need to hear the word of God. So we choose leaders in the coming days who will carry on those ministry. Okay? And it's not an easy toll to take. That's why God has provided us what I call this observable. I repeat myself again. Observable qualification. I don't know, you know, it's for us to choose. Okay? God gave us an example to choose. I'm not, you know, I don't consider myself appoint elders here. No. I don't have direct command from the apostles. Just like Titus and Timothy does. Because Paul converted them, and Paul, who was one of the apostles, okay, commanded them directly to appoint elders. Now we have a choice to make. And I want you to make those choices as a group. So that person or those person will have the mandate. When I say mandate, everybody is involved. You are involved. Not only me, not only Brother Dante, not only Brother Nelson, but all of us as a group will choose those leaders. Okay? So hopefully, as we go to the, you know, those verses that we have read since last week and this week, we have now at least have a perspective, you know, a guide to do that. Right? And mind you, I want to end in this note. Those are not perfect people. Okay? They're not perfect. We have weaknesses, all of us. Only God is perfect. That's why we have to pray for them. Pray for everybody. Pray for, you know, we have to be accountable at each other. All right, so let's bow our heads, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for opportunity to listen to your word, O God. Thank you for the book of Timothy, the book of Titus, Acts, actually all the Bible, O God. Give us an example, a gauge, a biblical document that we can rely, because your word is, it won't change, oh God. It won't change. That's your word. And it's, we're greatly appreciating you, God, because we're not choosing a leader blindly, but we're choosing leaders according to what you have said and what is written in the Bible. So we pray as a group that we can do that. And do that with confidence and with hope that you will provide leaders for us that will help us grow and be mature knowing you in our lives. So thank you so much. And bless us, O God. In His name I pray. Amen. I think we have a song of invitation. Anybody?